Okay, so this morning in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be speaking on new creation, on the new creation and new creation realities. And start off with the most famous of all the new creation scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And there's a few others that we can go to. But 2 Corinthians 5, 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this is one of the great scriptures in the Bible, guys. This is truly one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you today are in Christ? You gave your life to Jesus. You've been born again. And now you're in Christ and He is in you. Okay? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So let's just take some time and be honest about this verse. Many of us would say that is a wonderful verse, and I sure wish it was true in my life. After I became a Christian, much of my life, I mean, I know that I'm saved. I know that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I'm still struggling with some of the day-to-day things that I was struggling with before. I still battle insecurity, rejection, inferiority. I still battle addiction. I still battle certain sins that have attached to my flesh. I still think about, you know, my past, things that have happened that have scarred me or that I scarred someone and it grieves me. Or that there is just still this level of inadequacy and mediocrity and just you're living a tepid life, lukewarm life. I mean, you're not seeing this wonder of the new creation, because in the Greek, when the scripture says, if we're in Christ, that person is a new creation. So in the New Testament, the Greek of the New Testament, the word new, there's a couple, two or three different news that the Greek, there's different Greek words that are translated in English new. And there is a new that really means a refurbished new, like you take a piece of furniture and you decide to, you know, get it reupholstered, right? How many of you ever reupholstered something? And it's certainly nice to reupholster. That's not what that word is. That word is a brand new, a new that's never before existed. Amy, I like your caterpillar to butterfly illustration, because the refurbished new in the Greek, if we're dealing with the caterpillar butterfly example, well, the caterpillar in that Christophilus, something like that, cocoon, chrysalis, it actually goes into, it forms its chrysalis, its, you know, little cocoon. And in 2 weeks, well, less than that, the caterpillar dissolves into goo. Okay? It's just goo in there. And then in that goo, there's a brand new DNA that begins to form, forming an amazing thing that still all of us, don't we all love butterflies? I mean, no matter how rough and tumble. Even, you know, mixed martial art guys like butterflies. I mean, butterflies are amazing. Think about, you know, now that butterfly, it has a completely different DNA than what the caterpillar had. The refurbished new would be the caterpillar comes out in 2 weeks looking like a caterpillar with butterfly wings. And it would drop right to the ground, right? So we're not talking about taking an old creation and adding some new stuff to it. No, God doesn't do that. He says, Adam, the old creation is called Adam, the Adamic nature, the old man, the old self, the man of dust. There's different words that describe the old creation. God says that old creation is dead. Dead. God's not going to refurb and make better something that He has said it has no value in the kingdom. That old man of yours is so dead, God is not going to resurrect it. He wants it dead. He wants it buried. And all the attitudes and activities of that Adamic nature, God says, it's not coming into my kingdom. You are not a refurbished Adam. You're a brand new, and the word creature or creation there is the word species. So the way to say this properly is, if anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new species of man. Now, how powerful is that? To know that your spiritual DNA, and it says in Hebrews 2:9 or 2:11, I think it's 2:11, that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers because, you ready for this? Because we share the same source. Now, your Bible will say father, probably, but it's in the Greek, that word is source. It says that Jesus and you and I come from the same source. The DNA that we have is different than Adam. We're not just a human being. Do you know that Adam, when he's the head of the old creation. Let's just for a moment talk about when Adam was made perfect. There's a phrase that is called in the state of innocence. That in the garden, Adam was in a state of innocence, sinless, in a state of innocence, Adam and Eve. Okay? So when God made Adam, he breathed into him his spirit in terms of where he gave Adam a human spirit. Okay? Well, what's different when the new creation? Who is the head of the new creation? If Adam is the head of the old creation, who's the head of the new creation? So, in a real way, you could say Jesus is the new creation. So when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he was born what? 100% human, right? But what else was he? Emmanuel, God with us. So Jesus is the first human born with two natures. He's 100% God and 100% man. There's never been a man with two natures. Every man that ever lived on earth from Adam, and he was the only righteous one for a short period of time, and now you got all of humanity dead in trespasses and sins. Their spirit is now separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins. And that human nature of theirs is sitting there, you know, trying to figure out who God is. And, you know, so when Jesus comes along and he is born, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus is 100% God. He has the nature of God in him 100%. And he has also got a human nature now, 100% human. Now, this has blown people away, theologically speaking, and there's been a whole bunch of errors over the years talking about what the new creation really is. Some taught that God and man mingled into a third hybrid. That's not true. Is that there was not a new creation of God and man mingled together, and where it's not really God and it's not really man. That was actually taught for, you know, 100 years, about 300 A.D., and what we have to understand is Jesus is the head of a new creation species of man. Jesus is the head of a new species, a brand new. And because you're in that new creation man, Jesus, that's what makes you a new creation. So as a new creation, what are you? When I ask people this, they say, I'm forgiven. I'm saved. My name's no, but what are you? What is the new DNA like when you go from the caterpillar to the butterfly? What is the DNA of a Christian? What does that look like? This is really important that you get this in your spirit and in your mind, that this you have a strong understanding, is that you, believer, son of God, child of God, sharing the same source with the Son. Source could be actually translated father. We have this. We've been fathered by the same father. We're not stepsons with Jesus. We're legitimate sons of God.
exactly like Jesus. Now, he is the God-man. He is God in the flesh. We're not. That's not our DNA. But what is our DNA is that we have a human nature now, and we have a divine nature that through the new birth, the divine nature, the Holy Spirit, has walked into us. And however that looks, I don't know, but I know 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, they that are joined to the Lord are one spirit. I know it says in 2 Peter 1:3 that we are been now made a partaker in the divine nature. I know this, that I'm in Christ, and Christ is in me. I know, according to Colossians 2:10, that in me dwells, in the Amplified, it says, dwells the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I know I'm no mere man. The Apostle Paul said, when you could have walked as sons of God, you walked as mere men. So in the earth today, you have two species of man. You have fallen Adamic man, and you have new creation man. You have the man of the dust, the Adamic man, and then you have the heavenly man. We are part of that race, that creation, that new, brand new creation, where we are legitimate sons of God. Your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life only. That's pretty cool, and you got eternal. But the very fact that God reconstituted you, you were a caterpillar, but now you're a butterfly. Your spiritual DNA is not even close to being what Adam's is. You are special. You are unique. Angels marvel at you. 1 Peter 1:12 says an angel looked in deeply with lust. The word is lust, but it's a longing. And it says that angels are peering deeply into this new creation. Oh, longing to be what you and I are. Angels got it down, man. They know. They are you kidding me? That knucklehead, that bum, full of the devil at one time, an embarrassment even to the Adamic race. Now is a son of God. God's living in that thing. You carry the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says that we have been called for the obtaining of the glory. The very presence of God. Colossians 1:27 says that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Adam was crowned, was clothed with glory and honor when he was made, but sin robbed him of the glory, the clothing of God. And now in Christ, we've been restored back to the Father's presence, but not restored back as an Adamic man just forgiven. We've been brought back into the presence of God the Father as legitimate sons of God, with our elder brother. Then do you know that's one of the names of Jesus? He's our elder brother, our big brother. And our big brother is the high priest. Our high priest, head of the church, that is bringing us into the presence of the Father. So we are the butterflies today. And how many of us are still thinking like little stinking caterpillars that deserve to be stepped on? You see yourself only as a caterpillar. God wants you to spiritually dress in royalty. He wants you to be able to hold your head up. He wants you to be able to throw your shoulders back. He wants you to be able to, on your walk to the throne of grace, if the devil tries to stop you, you tell him, Satan, get behind me. You understand you're in the family. You understand. But there's a disconnect with most Christians. Most Christians are wanting to get out of earth. God's looking for some sons of His that want to get down into the pit. We were born to be gladiators. We're not born to be, you know, nibbling some leaves over in the corner, waiting for the rapture, like some caterpillar. You're born to fly. Your thoughts But God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Child of God, you were created for greatness. You were created to take dominion over planet Earth. And when we get Earth under the dominion of Jesus Christ, then we're to fill the universe. Yeah. You know how many light years we have of universe that we can see? 13.6 billion light years of stars, planets. Who knows how many planets? The stars, they say there's over 300 billion galaxies in the universe. And by the way, in each galaxy, there's 300 billion stars. And how many of the stars have 9 planets? Or 5 or 20 planets? It's the grains of sand on planet Earth is that same number as the stars that we know. It's called 10 to the 23rd power. Think about how massive the universe is. And yet Ephesians 1:23 says that we, the church, that He, Christ, is the head of the church, and we're His body, and we are that body that is to fill the whole universe. What it says. God's going to use the church, His sons, His daughters, this amazing creation of a man, and when I say man, mankind, womankind in there. You know, woman is man with a womb. Did you know that? So it's okay, guys, to say man, referring to all of us. This new creation man can contain the fullness of God. Today, right now, we can contain that fullness. But why are we not seeing all things made new? Why are we not like the butterfly flying around on the heights? Why are we still dragging around, you know, goo from the Adamic? It's because there's a disconnect in our thinking. And so in Ephesians 4, if you would go there, Ephesians 4, it talks about growing up into Christ. Look at verse 13. Ephesians 4, verse 13. And I love these digital Bibles. Okay. It says that there's a ministry, the fivefold ministry has been working to help edify the body of Christ. Until we come, so this is what's happening today. I'm a pastor and a teacher, and I've been raised up my gift, and many of you have your gifts, and some of you are fivefold ministers, but it is to edify and build up the body to where we're not down in the dirt like a caterpillar. We got butterfly wings. We're flying. Okay? And it says in verse 13 that we're supposed to do this teaching the body and edifying the body till we all, everybody say all. Look at your neighbor and say that means you too. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And that's what we got to have, guys. We've got to get to this knowledge of the Son of God. The more you see Jesus, the more you become like Him. It says, till we come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, if you have an Amplified, you might want to check out the Amplified. By the way, now you know there's an Amplified, the Classic, which had been around for a long time. And then a few years ago, they just came out with an updated Amplified. I just found that out. So you might be in the Amplified and not have the right Amplified that I'm reading from, but just know that now there's two Amplifieds out there. One's called the Classic and then the new one. I think I got the new one here. So it says in verse 13 that it might develop, that is the church, all of us, until we all attain oneness. in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God. Do you remember in Hebrews, when the writer of Hebrews, probably Paul, said, I have many things to say for you, but they're hard to be uttered because you are dull of hearing? Guys, there's levels of revelations of Christ that you and I are going to grow up into. But you've got to be ready for that level. You can't go into it saying, I hope he's done by 11:15. You can't be tepid. You can't be disinterested. You can't have a mentality of, oh, I've heard that. You haven't heard that. In your spirit, shed and pull back everything that would cause your vision to be dim. How many of you have to do that in the morning sometimes? It takes a while to be able to read things in the morning now for me. And, I got to kind of work a little bit and get that vision going. And so here it says that we would have a comprehension. Many of us are not comprehending our destiny. We're not comprehending that we've been made a new creation. We're not comprehending the potential, the absolute amazing potential as Godmen in the earth. It says that we're to keep preaching this and teaching this until the church develops into being able to have a comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. Okay, I'm going to read that again. That there is a full and accurate knowledge of Jesus as the Son of God, that we are being built into His pattern. Jesus is what we're being conformed into, the image of Christ. Every day we should be going from grace to grace, faith to faith, knowledge. We're building upon the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. If you're staying in the same place, if you're staying and you're not growing into that mature manhood, you cannot put it on. You might put it on me. Certainly there's better preachers than Matt Storr, a lot of them out there. But the issue, I'm going to tell you this. There's been seasons where I had a word-dumb pastor. The guy couldn't get himself out of brown paper bag in the Word. And I totally grew. I grew because I was hungry. I grew because I read my Bible every day. I grew because I shared my faith with people. I grew because I would actually share Jesus with people. And I wasn't getting it in church. I was getting it because I was hungry and I was reading the Word and praying and fellowshipping. And there was a tremendous amount of grace that came through that. Listen. I also spent 5 years with John Osteen, where that was the greatest pastor on the planet Earth, no doubt about it. John and Dodie, amazing. Every Sunday, amazing in the Word. So I grew exponentially, for sure, in that environment. And so, Todd, we for the gardens at the river, we need a lot of plants. Probably we need, flowers, maybe. What do you think? 50,000 plants out there and flowers. So we built, Todd had the idea about building a greenhouse. And so right out back, we've got a greenhouse. And I'm being, I'm kind of a plant dummy. So I'm standing there, why do we have to have a greenhouse? Well, the environment that's created by the greenhouse raises the temperature, protects the plants from the cold. But I don't know how fast a plant can grow in a greenhouse as opposed to out in the elements. But I understand it really, in 3 months, all those little teeny plugs are going to be ready to plant because it was in an environment that it grew exponentially. We can create an environment at the river to where all of us are growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, grow, child of God. Grow up into the new creation. Don't remain dwarfed and stunted. Not that I'm saying that you are. I'm saying there's a potential that you can stop at a level and not grow beyond that level. Break free of that. Break free of it, even if you have to shake your own tree. In the Luke account, in the parables, in the Luke gospel, Jesus tells a parable about a tree that's not bearing fruit. And the foreman on the garden there says, "Oh, Master, don't cut down that tree yet. And, you know, let me fertilize it. Let me dig around it. Let me shake the tree and fertilize it and see if it will not bear fruit this year." And you might have to do that. You might have to cut off things today. And I'm sure all of us do, right? Am I the only one that has to get rid of stuff? You think so? Well, I'm not surprised I have to get rid of more than you, but I'm pretty convinced that we have to get rid of everything. All of us do. And so look what it says, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. Amy, we were talking about mature manhood. The bride has made herself ready because the king's coming back. The church has to get ready. Guys, we're going to be seeing the king real soon. Don't see the king, you know, in dirty clothes. Don't see the king. Don't be in a place that you're not ready and fully excited to see the Lord. So let's move on. So it says that's where we're supposed to go. But look at verse 17. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind." And I looked this up in many translations. Futility of the mind means empty-headed. Means void. Don't be walking around with an empty head. Don't be doing things that are just absolutely worthless. There's no value in it. We really have to measure our time and redeem the time. And this is a command. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." Paul's giving us a command from the Holy Ghost. Stop walking like the Gentiles walk. Stop walking in a futility of the mind. That means that these people that are walking out, they don't know the Lord. They're not engaging their mind to find the Lord. Work your mind. Don't let your mind get soft. Don't let it get comfortable. Stretch your mind. Mumble the scriptures. Do something to where you're exercising, Hebrews 4 says. You're spiritually exercising. We all know what exercise does. It wakes up the whole person, right? Man, there's some days I go out to ride my stationary bike. And I mean, it's like lifting my foot up, putting in the pedal. It's like, wow, victory. But I start pedaling. And it is such a pitiful, I don't even think the RPMs are even registering. You know, and in a couple minutes, the pedals are moving. And, you know, I don't know, 13 minutes with Freebird, all of a sudden I'm flying. My feet are moving so fast. I mean, I have absolutely, exercise has begot more exercise, has begot more. As I began to just move in obedience, in a common sense understanding, I've got to exercise. The exercise itself brought me to a place of greater exercise. And when I'm getting off the bike, all those endorphins are running all over my brain. I am just smiling. I'm happy. I feel content. I feel peaceful. I don't feel anxiety. I'm not thinking, you know, horrible thoughts. I am just thanking God for that 45 minutes in the sun, on the bike, listening to some good music. Man. And then this is, I'll daydream on that bike. I'll spend a few minutes thinking about throwing 17 touchdowns in the first half of a game. But then I'll move over into being great in God. And I see myself great in God. You might think that's prideful, but I was created for something great. I'm a new creation man. Christ lives in this man. Christ lives in me. And I think about St. Patrick and what he did as a little 16-year-old slave, English boy, captured by the Irish pirates and made a slave. And how at 22, he got on a boat and went back to that place that had enslaved him. And in a few years, he drove all the snakes out of Ireland. Demons. That whole island went from being Druid to Christian under a 22-year-old young man who was a new creation man. St. Patrick is one of the greatest Christians that have ever lived because he knew who he was in Christ and he walked with that second nature inside him, the Holy Spirit. And that is our walk today, is that we are putting off the old man. Let's see what it says. It says that these people in verse 18, that that we shouldn't walk like the Gentiles in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. You don't want to be in ignorance. You want to have an understanding that is illuminated and not darkened. And it says that they have a blindness in their heart. And now they're past feelings. They've given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus. If you're a real Christian, Jesus is teaching you and speaking to you, and he himself is wanting you to learn how to be an overcoming Christian. And look at verse 22. This is what we have to do today, that we at the river put off like old clothing, like dirty clothing. Old clothing, concerning your former conduct, the old man. And that putting off is a choice. You have the choice. Will you put off the old conduct, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust? So that old conduct is growing even more and more corrupt. Listen to me very carefully today. That old man, if you give place to him, is going to grow. You know, what's the saying? Whatever you feed grows. If you feed it, it'll grow. So don't feed the old man anymore. And it says in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Have you ever wondered why it doesn't say be renewed in the mind here? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And different translations will say be renewed in your mind by the Holy Spirit. And so you can see that right there, when you make the decision to renew your mind, the Holy Spirit is right there, working with you, helping you. Because as you read the Word of God, which is not the Word of a man, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, it works effectually in you. And the Holy Spirit, as you read the Word, the Holy Spirit inside you, that second nature, God in you, is taking that Word that you just read and creating it in you. He's creating in you patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and self-control. He's creating in you wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The Holy Spirit isn't standing on the sidelines while you're reading the Bible and yawning. It's so boring today. I told Amy this the other day. I position myself when I read the Word. I'm about ready to read something living. It's God. Now, for some of us, it might just be, you know, a book. You're reading it, 1 year Bible, that's cool. You've got to get more into it than just a perfunctory reading of Scripture. You approach that Scripture. Oh, good. Today, I'm in Luke chapter 3, the genealogies. And you know why I'll read the genealogies? Believing the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. And you know what he does? The Holy Spirit sees that I'm honoring his word. I'm taking time to renew my mind. I'm putting off the old man by the renewing of my mind. And I'm putting on this new man. And I'm reading the genealogies or the Levitical dietary laws. And you know what the Holy Spirit does? He might not even speak to me about those genealogies or the Levitical dietary laws. You know what he does? As I position myself in the Word, he illuminates my mind. And all of a sudden, he brings something up to me from 3 days ago in the Word. And he gives me revelation. I've gotten so many revelations on reading a portion of Scripture that actually, honestly, meant nothing to me at that moment. But because I honored the Word of God and positioned myself and said, Holy Spirit, I'm going to renew in the spirit of my mind. And I'm going to walk in that new creation. The Holy Spirit can illuminate any fact or figure or doctrine or point or topic. He can talk to you about being a better grandfather. He can talk to you about, you know what, you need to get Apache Sunset Rock out there. It's called Honey Quartz. I mean, there's all kinds of leading that the Holy Spirit can give if you get your mind beginning positioned in the Word. Would you stand on your feet today? So, we are new creation people. The potential of a new creation person is God in His fullness is living in us. Ephesians 3:19 says that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So, is that a lot of potential? Do you think being filled with God is pretty cool? But that's not what it says. It says being filled with all the fullness of God inside you and me. That's the potential. You will reach certain levels in Christ only as you move toward Him. If you stay exactly where you are, you're not going to grow. You got to make the decision that the Word of God, in Him I live and move and have my being, that your Word is everything to me. It is what's renewing my mind, and it's only by the renewing of my mind, in the spirit of my mind, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that I can be free. I can be free of addictions. I can be free of failures from the past. I can be free of inadequacy and thoughts that really... Yeah, here's a big thought you and I must be free of. Apathy. You know what apathy is? Apathy is not really caring. And yet, the Bible speaks about getting rid of apathy. Shake yourself to where there's no apathy. There's not a disinterest. Okay, pastor says I need to read the Bible. No, this is how you need to do it. Woohoo! Today, I am going to read the Word of God. It's not going to return void. It's going to change me. You need to shake yourself of any just... I guess I'll read a couple chapters. You need to say, man, I'm going to read hard and fast today because there's something in here. It's going to light me up. If you do that, grace will hit you on the head. Something's going to come flying in through the window and smack you from heaven. Because God is looking for a person whose hearts are perfect toward Him that He might show Himself strong in their behalf. If you sit there doing a perfunctory reading of Scripture, you're not renewing your mind very well. Heavenly Father, baptize us in a love for the Word of God. Make it that we are crazy in love with Your Word. That we would not love stories more than the Word of God. I know stories are cool, but the Word of God is God. If you're going to grow, you have to eat, right? If you're going to ingest God, there's only two ways you do it. By eating the bread of life, the Word of God, and drinking of His Spirit. Eating and drinking. Eating the Word, drinking the Spirit. That's how you grow in grace. So today, River Family, you're walking in the new creation. You're not, all things are made new. You're free. You're strong. You're a blessing. You're destined for greatness. Do not accept a caterpillar walk. Start building a cocoon. And watch that old man go to goo. And the new man come out flying with butterfly wings. I am not sermonizing. I am not preaching a cute little thing. I am begging you and beseeching you, as Paul did, that you would not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might know what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. Conform means being pushed down into the dirt of this world. Transform means being lifted up into heaven, having a heavenly mind. We're heavenly men. New creation men. We're the God men that the devil's afraid of. Honey, I use this illustration. Maybe there's better ones, but the Little Mermaid. Remember all the men and women had been put under a curse by the sea witch? Some of you didn't have little kids when that came out. We had little kids, and it was really a great story. And all these men and women were shrimp-like things, and they looked at each other so afraid. But when they got set free, they turned into these amazing champion-looking creatures, you know, each of them shining brilliantly, just as sons and daughters of the King Trident. I'm telling you, we are conformed to the image of Christ. Shine with the brightness of Him. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. The Holy Spirit, who is God, is living in you. Give place to the Holy Spirit. Give opportunity. You gave opportunity to the devil in your life. You thought stupid thoughts. I did too. By my very thoughts, I brought darkness into my life. I found you could meditate on darkness and get it. But I also found if I meditate on light, I can get light. How many of you are going to, in 2018, you're going to step into the Word like never before? I don't mean, you know, that you got to confess 50 scriptures a day. It will help you. When you start using your mouth at Lehigh. But Amy, that our minds are renewed to the Word of God. That we're not getting offended at every little thing or every big thing. You're not thinking the worst. There was a time when every phone call, I thought it was going to be bad news. And before you pick on me, John Osteen had a season in his life where he couldn't fly airplanes. Because he was thought for sure that the devil was going to kill him in an airplane crash. And for 2 years, John, this powerful man of God, gave place to the enemy with thoughts, and he couldn't get on a plane. And he fought free. And the Word of God set him free. 2018, guys, we're free. No chains, no bondages, no limitations. No limitations. Sons of God, radiant, radiant. Reflecting the grace of Christ. Father, do this for every person here today. Let this not be, I have to read the Word. Let it be, I get to read the Word. Let it be a year where I'm a butterfly. I'm not a caterpillar. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you made that commitment today that you're going to live in the Word, would you confirm that by telling somebody here today? Would you do that? And then do it. We are dismissed. Fellowship outside.